Blog Talk Radio.
Theo Fury started 2 years ago, 2013, and it happened again this year. And I know in Toronto, they'll be meeting at 60 Queen Street at Old City Hall, and it'll be a 5K walk throughout the city. And as many people come out and support, the better. Another way of our voices to be heard. But I'm going to get a little bit more about that. But like I say, my name is Stuart Thompson. Welcome to See Me to Personal Transformation. This is a support program for survivors of childhood sexual abuse. So basically what I do, I talk about my own affirmations of how I've got to be where I am now, both negative, positive, and I talk about the work that's done here at the Gatehouse, which gave me the help to where I am now. And so very much grateful for that as well. But first, keep in mind, everything I talk about and everything that we do here is all at a peer support level. We are not qualified therapists or anything of the sort like that. We're not psychologists, psychotherapists, anything like that. It's all peer support. Basically, even our facilitators, with an exception of maybe a couple, we're all survivors. We've been through that. And may I be quite clear, even the ones that aren't survivors that are facilitating here, they are the best people I've ever volunteered with, ever. I'm so grateful to be here. And from my experiences in my own personal growth, as well as watching others in their growth as well. Because I know I've said this time and time again, but I know my growth from when I came here 5 years ago is what I am now. I'm not the same person. And daily, there's always something, some kind of change with me. And as I refuse to give up, and if you're listening to me out there, if you put the same sort of effort that I have and you found a place that you can go and heal, then yes, it's quite possible you can get past what happened to you and not let your past trauma of childhood sexual abuse basically hold on to you and own you as it did me, and I know many, many, many others. And I've met many others that have come here and have gone through the same experience I have and that are leaving. Well, put it this way. I know even for myself, well, my life's not perfect. I don't know anybody's life is perfect, but I know I never really knew what normalcy of life really, really meant until I started going through this. Now I'm starting to get a hang of it, and I understand a little bit better, and I understand who I am, where I'm coming from, where I'm going, at a much deeper level than I've ever thought possible. I'm not so self-destructive anymore. I'm actually beginning to like myself, as we were before. As long as I can remember, I never did like myself. And I have lots to say in regards to this matter, and I will be fighting for being an advocate as long as until somebody stops me, basically. But I will fight for this cause any way possible. And lucky for me, through media, via the internet, now I can do this as well, and I can talk about this, my experiences, other people's experiences, including their, you know, in their growth. In healing, like I talk about mine, and when Deb's been here, and it's been an interesting ride, to say the least, all the way through to where I am now. My growth is bar none. I try not to think about it too much, but when I do think about it, and when I talk about it, it's very, very humbling. And I've always considered myself to be somewhat of a humble person. I've talked about not having an ego, and some people are ego-driven. This is not about ego for me. This is just plain about healing, and just that simple, just about healing, and moving forward, and realizing that, and actually becoming to realize that, yes, I was abused as a child, and it really messed me up for pretty much most of my life, and now even at this stage of the game. In my mid-50s, I'm talking about it, which I never thought possible to the level that I am. I never dreamt this at all, and that I'd be sitting here talking about this to the level that I am talking about it. It's funny because just before coming downstairs, I was talking with a gentleman by the name of James Buffen, and he has a film company called Virtuous Pictures, and he's also a survivor as well. And in fact, he's going to be releasing a. Well, we're waiting. I was asking about a film that I took part in about 2 years ago. It's called Illuminating the Light, and what the film is about, a documentary film is about how survivors have basically transformed themselves, you know, and their experiences, and that's what the film is about. And it covers, we have both men and women in there, you know, straight, gay, pretty much all over the whole map as far as sexuality is concerned. And everybody in this film is very, you know, it's very mind-blowing. When I saw the film, they were back at our conference to its complete entirety. And it's very, very humbling to see myself, you know, 2 years plus ago that I did this, it's where I am now. Because I can say that I'm not the same person. My story has changed, not meaning that my abuse, what happened to me has changed, but my story is, as far as my recovery has changed to where I am now. And that is key to my own personal, obviously healing, and also towards my progression as a human being. And it has come to such great level now that it's kind of mind blowing to myself that I can even think about it, even talk about it. Because as far as talking about myself is concerned, I think at one period of my life I did not like talking about myself, and to me that's ego driven if I have to talk about myself. But when I do talk about myself, it's not about ego now. It's about my healing. It's about what I've done to heal. It's about my negatives, as such as my falls, and about my positives, where I've risen, and that's all been part of my growth. And in order for you to understand out there, those of you who haven't started your healing process, and that are seeking it, and when you do get it, it is quite possible to move to another level with yourself, as far as your own self belief in regards to how you. How you feel about you towards yourself. And it's very humbling now when I come to think about the chances that I've had and experiences that I've had to bring me to where I am now. Everything from doing that picture to being in Deb Mayberry's book, Lock the Door Beyond Sexual Abuse, which I quite often promote through Twitter. And I know it's there's many, many other people in that book which I've met. And I've said their story. There's some that I haven't, but there's a lot of people that I do know that are in the book, and I've seen them grow as well, like myself. So when I say it's humbling, to say the least. And when I look at my story now, as I've read it to you in the past, through its entirety, through the book, I really, it's quite amazing what I think now in comparison to then. Granted, the events that took place to brought me to where I said my story in the book were pretty profound as far as I'm concerned. And what I mean by profound was I look at myself and say, well, this is where I was, this is where I'm at, and this is where I am now. And it all falls back to just being very, very humbling. Okay, like I say, welcome to Personal Transformation. And I can't believe we're almost into the end of July already. It's July the 23rd. It's outside. It's nice, sunny, warm. And actually, we're going to a nice heat spell tomorrow. It's going to be a nice, sunny weekend all the way through. Saturdays, there's a call for rain, thunder showers, anything's possible, but who knows. I live a little further north than the city, so the weather we get up there is always a little bit different down here in the city. So the gatehouse is located at 3201 Lakeshore Boulevard West, Toronto. And as I always like to say, I make reference to being old Etobicoke. And sorry, like I said, 3201, I should have said 3101. You think I'd know that off by heart by now. You can call us at area code 416-255-5900. Speak to any one of the volunteer staff, or Maria or Paula or Brad, the director of the house. And we can help you in regards to finding a way to help you in your recovery for your childhood sexual abuse. We have programs for men and we have programs for women. We have a co-ed program. We also have a youth program from the ages of 18 to 24. And we also do a partners group again, it doesn't matter what side you're coming from, whether you're gay or you're straight. Whether you can even bring your best friend, it's not about just your intimate partner. It's about anybody that's close to you and has been through your process of healing, and they don't understand your growth and changes, and it's very, very helpful in that manner for what we teach you. Lucky for me, I've been facilitating that as well. The last little while I've been involved in it. In fact, just on August the 8th, if anyone's out there listening that's interested in doing that, you're quite welcome to do that. Just call the house at 416-255-5900, and we can set you up to come in. It'll be a Saturday, pretty much the whole day, like from 9:30 right through to 3:30, 4 o'clock, and we'll guide you through our experiences of our healing to help you along with your understanding and healing of yours to a certain degree, depending on how it affected you. But basically, what I'm trying to say, it gives you a better understanding of our healing process and how we change throughout the duration of our group therapy, which we have, which is 15 weeks long, by the way, and that includes for the women as well. And once you finally do that and you move on to the phase two, which is a co-ed program, and again, that is 15, 16 weeks as well. And the idea of the phase two program, we talk about basically about moving forward. So in the phase one, you learn about your core and how it's affected you, and help you understand well why some well I, we can't all I'd rather we help you understand about your core, and we help you understand a little bit about about how what you're feeling, whether it be your anger, your fear, your anxieties. And through our experiences of others talking is what I'm talking about in regards to we help you in that way, and we help you understand that you're not alone. And the facilitators that are here are very, very helpful, and give you little tidbits of things that you can try to help you heal yourself. The idea of the gatehouse is about self-help. It's not about us giving you some kind of a magical pill or anything of the sort. That's not what it's about. It's about us showing you another way, and then it's basically up to you whether you want to choose that path. It's showing you how not to be stuck in your life in a negative way, so much as you might have been in your past, so much as I've been in my past. And it's just a different way of moving on. And I'm a firm believer in the peer support program. When I think about the other things I've done, well, I've tried to get done in the past, such as going to a therapist, or not so much a therapist, but to a psychologist, and getting help that way, which did not help me at all. And I've heard others go through a very similar experience as well. But I found the peer support to be more effective in regards to my healing. And don't get me wrong, I'm certainly not discrediting the other resources out there, but I just believe that the peer support was a better choice or a better suit for me. And I did it without any medication whatsoever at all. It's all basically, I was talking about my experiences, how it affected me, and the more I talked about it, the less the pain was there. Obviously, the pain is still there, but I mean, less, I should, let me rephrase that. Well, the pain had not as much effect on me as it did when I first came here. And yes, I still get from pain to pain from time to time, that angry pain, that feeling of pain, of hurt, and disgust, what happened to me, and where it really, really drags me down. But with through my grounding practices that I've learned through here and elsewhere, and just talking about my abuse in the past has brought me to another level, which I never ever thought possible, such as being able to feel again. And what I mean by feel, I'm talking about feeling emotion, because one of the things that happens to a lot of us survivors is that when we were violated as children, we tend to basically put ourselves in a closet, so we cannot we don't feel anymore. We don't feel emotion. I mean, it affects us in many different ways. So I'm just giving you an example. Somebody else, everybody's affected differently, but I know for myself speaking, that is pretty much what happened to me. And don't get me wrong, I still have had emotion, but I didn't understand emotion and how it, well, I read the part about the emotion I didn't understand is when I had those emotions that happened to me, is I didn't understand what they meant. I didn't understand how they felt, and I didn't. More importantly, I didn't understand what they mean, and I didn't understand the action or the reaction that I could get out of it from feeling that way towards myself. And if there was somebody else in the picture, it's the same idea. So it has many different side effects. Not just with yourself, but if you have a partner, your partner. Even your family members, it's just not just one, but it affects everybody all around through your behaviors, whether it be, like we all have different coping mechanisms. And for example, like some people resort to drugs and alcohol, sex addiction, gambling, all kinds of things, right? And it's so important to recognize that and to talk about that. And that's where basically I am now. And that's what I'm doing. And so I make sure I'm still broadcasting here, and I still am, so that's a good sign. I'm sorry if I'm sort of bouncing back and forth, but I've had some difficulties, as I've told you about from day one. I had the good ones and some bad ones, and I'm just a little bit leery, and I'm not too sure that I'm actually broadcasting, but I can see very clearly that I am. I thank God to this monitor that I'm able to see. But yes, the recovery process and how it affected me. And I talk about learning through the phase one about learning about my core beliefs and how it affected me, such as my thoughts and emotions, to the level of where I left off and where I jumped, where I thought I was offline. We're talking about addictions, like such as drug and alcohol use, sex addiction, and many other different types of addiction, and how we cope, or rather how I cope anyway, and others I've seen do the same thing. And I've heard others talk about. So all these things are kind of, well, not kind of, they are. They're very, very important in understanding towards your healing. And by having these addictions, prior to my recovery to where I am now, it's something to talk about for sure, because people need to understand why, not just me, why I would behave in the manner that I have, but if your partner or a friend behaving in a manner you would not understand because they're acting kind of funny and weird and they're doing strange things. Well, if they were violated as a child, well, we do that sort of thing. It sounds kind of hard and core, but that's really the truth of it all. That's what we do. And I mean, not everybody, obviously, but some of us do. And I'm certainly speaking for myself, and I've seen many others do the exact same thing. They've had some sort of addiction to cope with what happened to them. And, the fear of feeling kind of falls into play what I'm talking about, although I'm not going to jump into a whole topic about addictions, but I just had to throw that in as well because it sometimes that has that effect on people that have gone through this type of trauma. So, feelings. Again, that's another beginning to feel again. That was kind of a really, well, it was interesting for me because don't get me wrong, I could feel, but not the way that I thought a person should feel. And what I mean by that, if I can clarify this a little bit deeper. So when I talk about feeling, well, my feeling of, let's say I get into a conflict, for example, whether I'm with a, I don't know, whether it's with my partner or my or a friend or a coworker or anything of the sort. At one point, I would, for example, whenever I get in that kind of a conflict, what I would do, for example, I would run. And I would run from it rather than deal with it because I didn't know how to deal with it. When I hear anybody yell or raise their voice or anything like that, that just triggers me like just no tomorrow. And it's probably related to a couple of things. Everything from my, when I was a child, I remember how my father used to just, rather than talk to me, have a normal conversation, everything was just, I would just yell that. Whether I did anything right or anything wrong. And I can think of a few abusers that used to do that to me as well. And by doing so, by yelling at me like they did, it would just basically cower me in the corner, and basically I was basically functionless. I couldn't I could never cope. I just couldn't cope with it. So rather dealing with conflict, I would just basically run, and that was my way of coping. And I did that with many many things in my life, and that's which I'm sorry about today, but I can't go back in the past other than I'm sorry for my past. And but that was my way of coping. And I hope you're getting an understanding to what I'm talking about because, what I'm talking about is really all not that simple. To some people, it might be simple, but it's certainly not simple to me. And I can think of a lot of other people that are going through the same thing that would not say it was simple. It's so complex. It is. It's very complex. When I think about it, for all those years that I've buried and basically I dug a hole so deep, just dug all my emotion and feelings and thoughts. Well, not so much my thoughts, but definitely my feelings and emotions into a big hole in the ground, and I never let them out. It's only been the last year and a bit that I've been able to actually let that stuff out, and to the level that I have now, and that has not been easy at all. I'm facing stuff and doing stuff I never thought possible. But on the other hand, it's been really, really good growth for me in a positive manner, because I'm doing things I never thought possible at all. And I owe it to the Gatehouse for helping me along that way. And then, I mean, and not just the Gatehouse, but the people in the Gatehouse, watching them grow and listening to them, listening to how they've changed and what they've done to change themselves, all for in a positive manner. Back to the programs now a little bit. So we have a phase two program, which I've talked about many times, and kind of Deb and I were talking about it, and Deb hasn't been available the last while because she's been busy with school, but she will be back later on. I'm pretty much guaranteed of that. And she's got great insight, and actually she's the lady that wrote the book where I said my story, which I've talked about countless times, Unlock the Door Beyond Sexual Abuse, through Amazon.com, and also available on Kindle as well if you choose, whatever you decide. And you will see if you purchase the book from Deb. And by the way, I must point out that all the proceeds are coming back to the Gatehouse. It's not going into her pocket, other than the actual recovery of the cost of getting the books printed. But basically, all the money she's raising from the book is she's donating to the Gatehouse, and ever so grateful for that. But the programs and. Okay, now I've talked briefly. Well, actually, I've talked briefly, but I've talked lots about the Phase One program. I've talked lots about the Phase Two program. I've talked about the YAC group, which we have, which is a youth group from 18 to 24, and of course I've talked about the partners, and that's what I've been kind of talking about this last little bit. How important it is for the person that you are with, whether it be an intimate relationship or just a friend, that they understand. The process you went through to healing, and I think it's important for the other person to understand, see you make all these changes with yourself, and what makes it harder is the person that's going through the therapy, or the peer support therapy, as I like to call it, it's mind-blowing, the changes that a person goes through to get to where they want to be. And I must point out, it's an awful lot of it's a lot of effort on the individual that wants to heal, because you have to do a lot of work, especially in the Phase 2 program. Phase 1 program, not so you don't have to work for what you're doing, but you do have to work, because you have to dig deep in your soul, and you have to find all those mass feelings you've got buried away that hurt you and dragged you down all those years. We like to, when we do peer support, we that's what we do. We like to try to bring them up, and we talk about them to a much in-depth level. And then others can talk about it as well. And this is where you find comparisons and other people that you can relate to that have been through a very similar or the exact same experience. And that's the great thing about peer support. I can't speak enough about that. I talked to many different people that have gone to gone therapy through one-on-ones with doctors, and I've had absolutely no success whatsoever at all. And then I hear other people that have come to the house and have had the peer support. And by hearing others that have gone through the same experience, And what we've done to heal for ourselves has been really more of a help than they did when they went to go and saw their so-called therapist. And let me reiterate that again, that I certainly am not discrediting them whatsoever. Psychologists, doctors, all that stuff, they're needed. And I won't discredit that. I can think at one point in my life I used to be so mad that I would do that, but reality is it's untrue, and they are needed so badly. So especially with mental health issues. I mean, again, that's another topic all in itself. But still, nevertheless, it's there. It's a huge problem in society. And the more we talk about it, the less stigma there is about it. And with that saying that, then it's easier for people to come out and talk about it. And talk about it and try to seek help, because this topic of childhood sexual abuse, both for men and for women, are still very, very taboo for most people in society. Most people do not want to talk about it, don't even want to address it. Hell, I don't even bring it up at a party. I have some acquaintances that I hang out with on the weekend sometimes, and I certainly don't talk about it. Well, maybe I might if somebody brought it up, and I've certainly never admitted that I was a survivor of childhood sex abuse, and maybe I will someday. I mean, I'm sitting here talking about it now, and who knows, they're listening now, but I don't know if that's the case. But my point being is, all falls back to what I said a little short time ago. It's about exercising my voice. I have found my voice, and here I am talking about it now. I talk about my experiences and where it's brought me to where I am now. And, it's profoundly, profoundly crazy, insane as far as I'm concerned, because I can't believe I'm even doing it. I can't believe I'm sitting here and I'm talking about this. And I'm not being judged, anything of the sort. You know, and to me, I don't care anyway, one way or another. You can judge me as you please. It doesn't really concern me, because I've found my voice, and I'm going to be talking about this for quite a while until I see some kind of awareness in society to a much greater level than that's there, other than what I see through the mainstream just media, and I never hear people talk about it or want to deal with it. You know, I'm here to, pardon the way I'm going to put this, but basically I'm slapping people in the face with this, because I'm tired of this being swept under the carpet, and I'm really hoping that in time that things will change for the better as far as us getting some kind of justice, some kind of, having the resources to go get help for this, which is really, really hard in some spots throughout the continent of North America, including Canada, U.S., Mexico, for example. You know, it's just not fair. I think about it now, it's really, really not fair. You know, I've had to struggle with this pretty much all my life, and I've never really had a chance or a place to go and heal from this, even from such a very young age. And now, at least I know that when I think about it, I see it, yeah, it's sad for myself, and I really don't intend to, I really don't want to wallow on that, but I want to focus more on the future. But anyway, what I'm saying is that the help is there. It's sparse, depending where you live. So me, when I say I'm lucky to have what I have, I mean it. I'm very, very lucky to be sitting here and even talking about this, the level that I am. The Gatehouse on the World Wide Web is www.thegatehouse.org. If you want to email me and pass me either good or bad comments, it is personaltransformation@thegatehouse.org. If you want to email me as well, and I would love your comments, whether it be negative or positive. And if you have something you would like me to talk about on this program, I would also encourage you to do so at the same time. And, when it comes to trauma of childhood sexual abuse, there's always lots to talk about as far as that's concerned. And when I talk about awareness, I'm talking about awareness is basically where I'm coming from, where the public needs to know about that this goes on and the effects it has on people at many different levels. Seems to take a little sip here. But in saying that, I don't see how much more I want to talk about that as far as the programs are concerned, but you're quite... everyone's welcome at the Gatehouse. It doesn't matter what gender you are, what sexual preference. There's no discrimination here. It doesn't matter what color you are. You can be from Timbuktu for all that really matters. All that matters is that you're coming up these stairs and then you're seeking some kind of help in regards to your healing process from your childhood sexual abuse. I've been thinking here, and I read this last week, and I'm not going to be on a whole lot longer. I was kind of hoping I'd have a little bit more to talk about, but I'm going to have a few more things to talk about, and then I'm just going to sign off. But I am going to mention one thing to you as well. I know that next week I have a gentleman by the name of Steve coming in here. He is a musician, and he's also a participant at the Gatehouse. And he's agreed to come down here down in the studio, and he's going to talk about his story, and he's also going to perform for us. And this gentleman, Steve, he's also a facilitator as well, but he is going to bring his ukulele, and he's going to sing some honky-tonk folk country blues, and we're going to talk about his experience to where he is now, where he's grown, his pitfalls through his growth before he came here, and I think you'll generally get a really good appreciation for Steve's growth to what he is now, and he's a great, wonderful man, and I'm looking forward to it. So I was kind of briefly talking about Matthew Eden, and if you go onto the big World Wide Web, if you go www.matthewedenwriter.org, is that right, or .com? Let me just see this to be for sure. I don't want to make an ass of myself. Whereas, yes, .com. And he has a blog on there, and I highly encourage people to go on there and read his blog that he posts. And I have printed one out here last week, which I never got a chance to read. And I'm going to give a little stab here, so just bear with me. But I feel important to read it because these are his words, Matthew Eden, and I just love his writing. I just love it, and I love how he beautifully explains where he's coming from, where his soul is speaking, and he puts it on paper to the depth that he does. And what I'm going to read now from Matthew is called "Dark Souls Are Not Fear But Love." A dark night of soul. Basically, if I'm like I say, I'm reading what he's obviously coming from his blog. So, so basically, Matthew quotes, "I live in my darkness, laughing in my disaster." The dark night of the soul. And this quote I've talked about is there's a photo here, and it has that inscripted on there. "I live in the darkness, laughing at my disaster." Do you languish in the dark, or do you thrive in it? These questions lingers in my mind as I recall a conversation in my idle time. You know the stuff you post in the dark, really dark, but always coming here, cheery and happy. I discuss some people need to make me be more something that I'm not. Instead, I learned a little bit more about myself. I didn't think anything about the statement at the time. But as I worried over it, like little priceless possessions, I wondered if it was possible the world was wrong and I indeed was correct in my darkness. I live in the darkness of laughing in my disaster. Dark souls are not fear, but love. What brought this post around was recalling a devotional my mother and I read as when I was young. We still were members of the Four Square Church in Scotts Valley, and we weren't the best advocates of the holy life, but no deep Bible studies, no real praying, and no bonding with others or with other believers. But we did invest in a small devotionals that we were ready daily. We read them in the morning. Boy, forgive me there. It's like I can't even read today. They were filled with allegories and mental. Jesus, if I just said, I can't even read. So, so we're filled with allegories and mental and ecology galore. So, what made this particularly devotional stand out? It contained scientific knowledge and commentary on the planet growth and toxicity of continual exposure to light. Since the beginning of my time as a Godite, I questioned being in the light of all the time. The thirst of the of my other is Godites. The time was held rather than interesting and confounding. They would shun upon people going through darkness in fear, darkness, to get into them into some sort of transmuted disease. Nevertheless, here we were reading as Godite-sponsored piece regarding the value of light and dark cycles with plants. This is paraphrasing the work itself. Too much time in darkness, and the plant withers, and it is unable to reach my potential, too much time in the light. However, it's dangerous as well. At first, the plant thrives, but eventually it is also withers and dies, burned beyond the point of recovery. As I look back on it now, I wonder if it wasn't more of a personal statement on my past life than it was as a throwaway story in my small devotional, maybe a handful of people would read. It mentioned it was better for the plant to have cycles of light and darkness to give it change to grow its full potential. The author also applied the concept to humans and the soul. As God wanted us to be in the darkness to appreciate the light and be prepared for the next time night falls. Again, very strange for a devotional to teach someone who is looking for clarity, but is something that stuck with me to this day. You need darkness in your life, and you must embrace it as fast as you can. If your dark side isn't a mysterious wicked identity, it is to you. We get stuck in a trap of expecting the darkness inside of us to become something different, whether it is an evil spirit making us into something silly or generic, curse passed through our generations to at this very moment and time. The problem we face is in disembodying the experience and making it separate from ourselves. We're desperately trying to make ourselves two individuals instead of anxiously embracing our wholeness in being a single person. It is at this concept fueling depression, anxiety, burnout, and even suicide. I am better than this, but I have no control over what my dark side does. It is almost as if I am two people. I was stuck there too, once as I walked on eggshells around my monster. I dreaded the chance that someone would wake the thing. And I had to watch in muted horror as a demon roared at another unsuspecting bystander. It was almost as if I was apologizing on behalf of a drunk friend who dropped his parents and crapped on the floor again. What I did see was that I was in control, and I wasn't going to get my. It wasn't getting any better until I decided to embrace in my darkness and reveal in it. My external darkness was always false existence. I pretended to be dark by wearing leather trench coats, beanies, death metal shirts. I blared my music to anyone who would listen, bombarding them with twisted lyrics of imagined demon thirsting for a worth dimension at the hand of Satan, a butcher, or an inverted cross. My internal darkness fueled the fires, and my desires of suicide and hopelessness brought me to more confirmation bias as I moved along. The further I ran from the damaged side of my life, the stronger the demon became, and better a razor blade fell through in my mind. I was only worthy of death and destruction to give people a chance to stay away from whatever I had become. The problem wasn't that I was evil, but I was being evil to myself by excluding the twins of my existence. I was telling myself I was welcome to a black tie event, all the while telling myself a black tie isn't required, and I needed to stay away until I changed into something more fitting. And then telling myself once more, when I wasn't in black tie, that I needed it ASAP, or else I wasn't getting anywhere in life. I was defining the rules of internally and changing them on a whim because I had punished myself for taking up a valuable space of someone else that could use it. The goal wasn't to be kind. It was to be fed the darkness and never win. Termination is a great bright light followed by the sinking into the depth abyss of the fields. People point to it as their worst moments as people. Yet they also say it was the moment of great clarity and sparked a new movement and allowed them to be in a better people in the long run. Working at a zero was a black abyss. The worst time during my career, if not for wonderful friends I earned there, I would have probably killed myself by exploding a battery jack, or rather battery pack. It wasn't until I determined that I had actually had a chance to see what my darkness had brought for me, like a diseased cat gifting a dead soul mouse. I placed a value on an external moment, and I had earned nothing for it. I was at my highest pay rate, the benefit of knowing a vice president at the time. I had the most flexibility, and I was treated very well. Yet my duality cost me. I forgot I was important. No point in self-sacrifices. My feelings were valid and understood, not to be swept under the rug and forgotten about. The moment came with great clarity and weight, and I pushed hard against it until I broke through to the other side, the full side. The completeness of being me and being responsible for who I am, the feedback was tremendously recently, as I received greatest compliment I think I've ever had. And yet it wasn't anything complex or determined as a presentation or a great showing. I waited with a dear friend, and he mentioned that I had changed. He thought I would do something, blow up, be angry, lose control. And I was surprised. I surprised him by doing the opposite, being professional, being calm, accepting limits a lot. The conversation twisted and turned, as we usually do when we hang out. But there were other minor things in my mind that were great praise to my change and accepting the darkness as my life. I am the darkness, and you can be too. What do you do if you believe you are in darkness shaming? Good question. Are you pointing to a mythical demon or a phantom in genetics? Do you believe that you have nothing redeemable because you are the darkness of all time? I doubt you are, and I can prove that I can prove you have some of these cycles in my past devotional. We get caught up in our negativity that we can't help, but we make up a story of a personal behind these acts. Well, I was doing okay at work until Dark Bobby decided it was time to dry a hump on the desk in front of the CEO. Or I had a great job until the Devil Melissa decided she needed 3 shots of tequila and to drive to work while drunk. The problem is that you aren't talking about talking it at all in accepting in the blame. You are making yourself so blame-free that you can't help but subconsciously sabotaging yourself in the process. The errors in judgment aren't someone else is stabbing you in the back. It is your mind telling you that you are betraying yourself. You are the only cause of your demise. We fear and flaw the acceptance that we can't function at times. I spoke to a colleague about the error that happened on his watch. I reminded him how to fix it, and from this point on, we're going to change by accepting the blame as and prompt supervisor in the concept only as appointed by my pretend boss. My colleague pointed pointed fingers and blamed everyone else. This person did this because of this. And they aren't perfect either, and I can prove it. Or it wasn't me because I was perfect. And you shouldn't point out people's flaws. In my words, not me, was the only person to blame. The darker self that obviously possesses the mind and souls of people you love and tell lies and fibs and half-truths. You are a quilt of fibs, sir, madam. Well, this point isn't perfect. It comes off as flawless, but to accept that you have a darker side and you make mistakes, and you attempt to shift the blame to other from you, rather from the blame from you to another, or some mythical demon in your heart does nothing other than to tell me that you are indeed running from yourself. The more you merge your sides together and act as one person, the easier it is to move from the past spot in your life and dark cycles all over again. You don't want it to be dark or light, but those lead to atrophy and death. Wow, that's pretty powerful stuff. I love what he writes about. And forgive me if I'm a little fumbled here along my words. I sometimes get a little bit nervous when I'm reading out loud, and his words are so well written, and it kind of catches me off guard there. So I kind of fumble up a little bit here and there. No disrespect towards you, Matthew, but this is beautiful, beautifully written, and so grateful to talk about it. So I encourage you all, if you're listening, to go to www.MatthewEdenWriter.com and follow his blogs. And I know he just put another one out there. I can't think of what it is off the top of my head. Actually, I should have wrote it down so I could have mentioned about it. But in fact, let me just dig it up here right now. Just take me 2 seconds, and I will tell you about it and what it's about. I won't read it, but I'll tell you about it. It is, let me just find it here, which I almost have. Here we go. Okay. Another posting by Matthew Eden. So basically, this blog, what he's written about is what he calls, is success a slave for your fears? I have not read this yet, but let me just read a little bit of it, even though I said I wouldn't do it. But I would encourage you to go onto his blog, www.MatthewEdenWriter.com, and he's got all kinds of inserts of blogs that he's done for the time, length of time that he's done. Let me just read a little bit of here. So basically, success and fear are not the same coin. And then again, he's got a photo here and talks about relief of your fears. So how far do you let your fear cure you as a survivor? I often wonder this as I dwell on my life. I know fear took me to a wild places and strange areas as I moved through my life. I gave up control and allowed my world to dictate to me what was on my plate and how I could deal with it. I am not smart enough because I did not earn a degree. I should never say anything because I wasn't strong to speak when I did. I need to sabotage everything because that is the only way love exists. Fear is a hell of a drug, and it is a drug, and tendrils run wild and deep if you let it, rather, I should say. So what you have prevented yourself from doing is because of fear. Okay, well, I'm going to stop there. So like I say, go on to www.MatthewEdenWriter.com, and you can follow through and read the rest of this. But this is totally fantastic. I just totally dig what he's writing about. Now, if I only speak better, I'd be all right. But, well, that's pretty good. I'm going to rehash about the Victor Walk again this weekend. I know if you're living in Toronto, if you go to 60 Queen Street or Old City Hall, and the walk will begin at noon. It's a 5 kilometer walk back to City Hall. It's not that long of a walk. 5 kilometers is nothing. I walk 10, 15 kilometers a day, and that's a slow day, but it's not a hard walk. And we'd really appreciate your support. I know I had a choice of a couple of things this weekend, and one, we are doing facilitator training this weekend for a bunch of participants that want to become facilitators. That is a two-day event, which we're having here at Hummer College. For anybody who's been through the process here at the Gatehouse and wanted to facilitate, and we also have the Victor Walk, which is on Saturday. So I'm kind of humming and hawing. Well, it would have been nice to go to do the training again, although I've done it a few times and I facilitate, but that's something else that's equally important to me is the Victor Walk. And it's about our voices and about being heard. And like, for example, I was talking with a baby girl or Jody from Vancouver briefly through Twitter or multimedia. And I know on Saturday she's going to be out and doing the same thing with the Victor Walk in Vancouver. And I'm basically, she gave me an example like, hi, I'm Jody. And I was abused from the age of, I'd say from 5 to 16 or something like that. And that's all. Everybody gets divorced. I know she's going to say my name for me. And that's wonderful. I really appreciate that, Joey, if you're listening. And so I'm really seriously thinking that if I don't have to work this weekend, I think that's exactly what I'm going to do. And I'm kind of under the impression that I was going to be working because of the Pan Am Games, but I'm not 100% sure that. If I'm on a call, I can't go. No doubt about that. But what I will say is that if I don't, I'm not on a call, I think that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to support Theo Fleury after what he started in 2013, and I'll go do the Victory Walk, which I've stated, which is at 60 Queen Street in Toronto at the Old City Hall, and it's a 5 kilometer walk, and that's all. That's only going to be like a couple hours. That's not long. There's not much time. So I'm really seriously thinking about going to do that. And I think it'd be a good thing. And again, I want to show amongst the other people that are going to be walking, that brotherhood and sisterhood, that we're all sticking together and we're not afraid to exercise our voice. And to me, that's really important to me right now. And what I mean by important to me right now, like for example, like what I'm doing here right now, I'm really showing my voice by talking about sex abuse and how it's affected me and how it's affected others. So to me, in order for society to understand what I'm talking or to understand what people like myself and people like Theo Fleury, the Victor Walk, for example, that he's got going on all across Canada, is a good example of us exercising our voices, letting the public know that we are fed up and do not want to put up with this anymore. And we'll do whatever it takes to change the stigma behind sexual abuse. That is, to me, is very, very important in regards to not only my personal growth, but for the whole idea of being an advocate and bringing up awareness to a whole new level. And which brings me to the point of speaking and talking. I must mention this, that tomorrow I will be, I'm going to be here at a certain time because I have to do a one-on-one with somebody, but that's irrelevant. But I've been asked to do an interview, and I'll tell you exactly what it is. It will be 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time tomorrow, and it will be obviously through the internet or World Wide Web, and through Blog Talk Radio, and it will be through a support network called the Red Light Support Network. And if you're on Twitter, just hashtag Red Light Sports, and you will find them. And basically, I'm going to be on 6 o'clock tomorrow night, and a guy by the name of Troy from this Twitter account and Blog Talk Radio is going to be interviewing me. And I'm ever so grateful that he's going to be doing that because he's got a great great listening audience, far greater than mine anyway, that's for sure. But and it's going to give me a chance to talk about what we do at the Gatehouse. I'll get to talk about my story a little bit. But I won't emphasize too much on my story, other than if I am talking about my story, I want to talk about more of my recovery. I don't want to focus on what happened to me, although I will kind of briefly mention it, but I want to focus on more on my personal growth. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about the people at the Gatehouse, what they do here, from all which is very, very humbling in many, many ways, for what they do, for the public out here in Toronto. And I'm so grateful that they do this sort of thing, and they've helped so many people for, I don't know, they've been around since 1998, so basically 17 years. So I know that every year that I've been here, and I've been here about 5 years, that I know I've seen numbers increasing more and more on both women and men as far as coming through here to get healed. But anyway, so tomorrow I'm going to be on this Blog Talk Radio, and let me just give you the whole pretext of it here. Let me just find it on my Samsung here. Where is it? Yes. So basically, it's Blog Talk Radio, or rather www.blogtalkradio/tacklingdomestic. And basically, domestic violence. So basically, what Troy talks about, he talks about sports, obviously, but he also talks about domestic violence. So I'm really grateful that, that Troy asked me to come on there tomorrow. I'm really, really looking forward to talking about what we do here at the Gatehouse, a little bit about my story, but the whole topic, I really like the idea that I get to interact with Troy as well. There's one thing when you're talking to multimedia or on Twitter, and you're only typing, you're not really seeing or talking to the person by voice, so I get to talk with him live tomorrow, and I'm really grateful about that. So it will be interesting to say, and I'm not sure how long I'll be on there, but I guess until it's done. But that's going to be fantastic. Another way of exercising my voice, as I talk about all the time, it's all about our voice. So we're getting our voice back, and I'm a prime example of someone who wanted to get their voice back. Well, I've got my voice back, and damn it, I'm not going to shut up. I'm just going to keep going on this until people don't want to hear it no more or do something about it. I want people to take it in and absorb what we're talking about and understand that this is wrong. You can't do that to children. You just can't do that because it royally screws them up for life. And it's just wrong. But anyway, that's what we're going to be talking about tomorrow. Really look forward to it. So, talked about the Victor Walk. I've talked a little bit about the programs. I've kind of been all over the map here a little bit. I read a little bit from Matthew Eden, writer.com. I certainly didn't pay him complete homage, probably because I was a little bit nervous reading it, but I just love his words and how he talks about how his dark side, or the two sides he talked about, how it affected him, to how he felt, and with the bit about the office, with the thing with the one person. Like, wow, it's just mind-blowing for sure, as far as I'm concerned. So I guess I'll leave it at that, and have a great week. Take care of yourselves. And next week, like I say, Steve's he's a participant here, actually, he's a facilitator now, but I'm going to have him as a home as a guest. So we're going to hear a little bit of mandolin and honky-tonk country music through Steve, and I know some of his stuff he'll be doing will be his own original songs, and maybe, I'm hoping that's what it will be anyway. I asked him to do his own originals, not to do covers, but he may do an original, he may even do a cover. But either way, in this room that we have built, that Walter and I got to sweat into, my new sound room, it's going to sound fantastic. So I'm really looking forward to it. It should sound really good through Blog Talk. And I love it. I'm not having any technical difficulties at all. So I imagine I didn't really have any interruptions. So that things are looking good. All because I've made a whole bunch of changes. And they seem to be working all right. Knocking on wood that it doesn't fall back on me and bite me in the duff. But nonetheless, it's working. It sounds great. And I'm grateful to be here. So more importantly, folks, I want you to take care of yourselves and really tune in next week, because it's going to be interesting. We're going to hear Steve's story, as I've said. I'm going to hear some music, and he's a great performer. So it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be just like when Jody was here. Just fantastic. And anyway, have a great week. Most importantly, take care of yourselves. I've been broadcasting live here from the Gatehouse in Toronto, Ontario. We're located at 3101 Lakeshore Boulevard West, Toronto, or Old Etobicoke, as I always say. Have a wonderful week. Take care of yourselves. Self-care, that's what it's about. It's all about self-care. Take care of yourselves. Don't let anybody else tell you any different. It's all about you, and you deserve better. And I'm gonna remind you about that. So if you are triggered in any way, call your local helpline wherever you may be located. Very easy to find a helpline. And talk to somebody, but take care of yourselves. So folks, have a great night, great week, and I will be back next Thursday at the same time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So have a great week. Thank you. Bye for now.